As a child, I grew up in a small town in Nebraska during the 1960s. It was one of those places where nothing ever happened out of the ordinary. The men went off to work in the mornings and the women stayed home and cleaned and cooked while the children were at school. Everyone went to church on Sunday, and during the summer holidays, we kids roamed the town and surrounding woods, playing and exploring without a care or worry, because we didn't have any reason to worry. Everybody knew everybody, and our town was a safe place to live. Or so we thought. It was the year 1964 on Halloween night that Lisa Rose Williams disappeared without a trace. I had seen her that night as I had gone trick-or-treating with my friends Daniel, Courtney, Shane, and Annabelle. Lisa was 9, if I recall correctly, and I was 12. She wasn't from my neighborhood, so I didn't personally know her. But she did go to my school, so I recognized her when I saw her trick-or-treating at Mrs. Sweeney's house across the street from us. We were both dressed as witches that night, her costume slightly nicer than mine due to her mother being a seamstress. I had noticed that she was trick-or-treating alone that night, and I remember wondering where her friends were. But that thought hadn't lasted long before I had gotten swept back up with the excitement of trick-or-treating as my friends began dragging me towards the next house. By the end of the night, I had almost completely forgotten about seeing Lisa until around 10 p.m. We had just hit our last house of the night, Mr. Patterson telling us to have a good night and not to eat too much candy before chuckling quietly to himself, as we promised we wouldn't, and closing the door. We had walked down the driveway excitedly chatting about all the candy we had collected and asking each other if anyone wanted to swap anything. Our chatter was immediately silenced by a piercing scream of, "Lisa!" We, and the few remaining other trick-or-treaters, turned to the end of the street where the scream had come from to see Lisa's mother. We must have caught her eye because she came running towards us. When she reached us, she stopped, breathing heavily from running. Her eyes scanned our group, a look of despair crossing her face when she realized that none of us were her daughter. "Have any of you seen my daughter?" she said frantically. We all glanced at each other nervously. Lisa's mother must have noticed because she quickly added, "She was meant to be home 2 hours ago." And tears started welling up in her eyes, and she let out a shaky breath. "I saw her earlier," I mumbled quietly. "She was at Mrs. Sweeney's house." "Was she with anybody?" "No, she was by herself, I think." "But where did she go after that? Did you see?" "No, I mean, I don't know. I lost sight of her. We've just been running around trick-or-treating." Mrs. Williams sighed and addressed all of us. "All of you go home right now and ask your parents if they've seen Lisa. And if you see her, send her home immediately." And with that, she turned and carried on hurriedly down the street, yelling for her daughter. I glanced over to Courtney and we shared a look. "We had better just do what she says. She seems pretty pissed," Daniel said as he began walking towards where we lived, and the rest of us following. As the chatter started up again, Shane happily exclaiming that when that kid got home, she was going to get the worst beating of her life. And the rest of us started laughing as the Halloween spirit quickly returned and we went back to trading candy. Only Lisa never did go home. I had gone home and told my parents about Lisa disappearing, and they had said that they hadn't seen her, but assured me that she was fine and must have lost track of time while trick-or-treating. Only the next morning, while the man on the radio was asking anyone with information on Lisa Rose Williams' whereabouts to come forward, we realized that she hadn't just lost track of time. They had never found Lisa, and after that, our parents were a little more wary about letting us roam the streets during the weekends. There was an assembly in school about stranger danger, and when we would see Mrs. Williams in the street or in church, pale-faced with puffy eyes that looked like she hadn't slept in weeks, my mother would smack me over the back of the head and angrily hiss at me to stop staring. But like a lot of things, it was soon forgotten about. And by the time the summer holidays began, everything had gone back to normal. It was the second week of the summer holidays, and we were beginning to get bored, already having run out of things to do, especially since mine and Anna's mothers had begun insisting that we bring our whiny younger siblings out with us. This caused problems, because we were all 11 and 12, and Tommy and Zoe and my younger sister were 6 and 7. They would get bored and whine until we took them home, or they would wander off and get lost, causing all of us to fly into a panic and start frantically searching for them. But by far the worst thing they would do was tattle. They would come out with us, and as soon as one of us did something that would warrant a punishment, they would be off running down the street yelling, I'm telling Mom. So as you can probably tell, Anna and I were not very popular at the time. So to avoid being saddled with the brats, our friends wouldn't call at our houses. And in order to join our friends, we would have to sneak out sometimes, even if that meant having to climb out a window, because as soon as my mother would hear the front door creaking open, she would holler, take your sister with you. This actually worked, until one afternoon, Daniel must have forgotten about the don't call at my house rule, because I was pulled away from my Batman comics by him violently pounding at my door. I ran downstairs and opened the door, shooting Daniel a furious glare when I heard my mother yell, if you're going to go out, take your sister with you, from the kitchen. Thanks for that, I sarcastically growled at Daniel, who clearly was too excited about something to give a shit. What is it? I asked. I can't tell you here. Come on out, was all he said as he stood on my doorstep practically vibrating with excitement. Fine, but I'm going to have to bring Shithead, I said, making sure to whisper the last part so that my mother couldn't hear. That's fine, just come on. Zoe, come on, we're going out, I yelled as I exited the house and made my way down the drive, asking Daniel what he was so hyped about. I heard Zoe come running out the door after us and slamming it behind her. She caught up to us in seconds and began clinging to my arm. Can we go to the park? I want to go to the park, she exclaimed. No, fuck off, I said angrily as I shook my arm, causing her to lose her grip on me. She stepped behind us and immediately said, I'm telling Mom. Fine, I yelled back. See if I care, you little shit. No, wait, Daniel said, grabbing her by the arm as she turned to run back to the house. Let me go, she cried out. Fine, but you're not allowed to come to the carnival with us then, Daniel said as he dropped her arm. Zoe stood still, her little brain working hard deciding if it was worth telling on me or not. Eventually she spoke. What carnival? Yeah, what carnival? I asked as I glared over at Daniel. If there was a carnival, I would have known about it. So he was either just saying that stopped my sister, or there really was one, and I would have to run home and beg my mother for money. Well, Daniel began, my brother told me that in the woods, there's this abandoned carnival. Bullshit, I cut him off. No, it's real. Listen, my brother and his friends go there to smoke up all the time. He told me how to get there. Either he's bullshitting or you are. There's no way, I said. But by the look on his face, I could tell he was serious. Well, there's no harm in going to check, Daniel said as we continued down the street towards Courtney's. Yeah, we can go. Zoe jumped up and down excitedly beside me. Only if the others come too, I replied, looking over to Daniel. That's fine, he said, and he opened the gate to Courtney's front garden. He walked up the little path to her front door and knocked three times. Courtney opened the door and her and Daniel exchanged some words before she glanced behind him to look at me. I'll be 2 minutes, she said, and disappeared back into her house. Daniel came back down the path and stood beside Zoe and I at the gate. A few minutes later, my best friend came running down the path and out the gate to join us, long black hair tied back in a bright red ribbon that matched her Converse sneakers. She had always been a bit of a tomboy, which was the complete opposite to me, who had never worn jeans in my life. Even our personalities were completely different, but somehow we ended up becoming inseparable. She even tolerated Zoe. As we made our way to Shane's house, Daniel explained about the abandoned carnival, and she seemed pretty excited to go. And when we called for Shane, who was the wildest out of all of us, he was even more excited than Zoe. Then we went to Anna's house, and I went up to her green door and knocked, and her mother answered. Hi, Miss Evans. Is Anna here? Yeah, she is. Let me go get her, Miss Evans said cheerily as she walked to the bottom of the stairs and shouted to Anna that her friends were here for her. Anna came running towards the stairs. Short blonde bob, immaculately styled as usual. Just as she was about to walk out the door, her mother put a hand on her shoulder and whispered into her ear for her to bring Tommy with her before turning and going to the kitchen. Anna rolled her blue eyes at me before walking back upstairs and returning this time, less enthusiastically, with her little brother Tommy following behind her. She closed the door behind them and glared at me. You guys know not to call me. Now look what you've done, We're stuck with him now. It's fine. Zoe's here too, I said, gesturing to the rest of the group where Zoe was standing with Courtney's hand tightly clasped in her own. Okay. Well, what's going on then? Anna asked as she joined the rest of the gang. Well, we're going to a carnival, Zoe yelled. There is no carnival in town, you idiots, Anna groaned. It's not in town. It's in the woods. Eddie went up with the guys, and it's real, Daniel said. That's the abandoned one, isn't it? I've heard of it. It's only a legend, though. Are you sure your brother and his friends didn't just smoke a little too much, Daniel? Even if they did, it's still worth a shot going up and checking it out, Shane replied. Well, I suppose, and if we do find anything, Zoe and Tommy had better not tell their moms, because then we will never ever take them out again, said Anna as she glared at the two younger kids. We're not going to, they promised. Seriously, if you tell, you will get into trouble too, Anna said, pointing at Tommy accusingly. I'm not going to, I swear. Good. Now can we hurry the fuck up, please? I want to see this place, Shane yelled impatiently. Yes, come on, Daniel exclaimed and led the way. We followed him through the town chatting excitedly. Okay, so Eddie said to follow the main trail until we come to the stream. Then we follow it until we find a path, and that should take us to the carnival, Daniel said confidently as we made our way into the woods. As we walked, Courtney, Anna, and I talked about school and other unimportant things that 12-year-olds talk about while Shane and Daniel bickered in front of us. Zoe and Tommy ran around playing some game. I zoned out and began viewing my surroundings. The tall pine trees towered above us, nearly blocking out the sun. The wind blowing and making them sway as the birds and other animals chirped and whistled. I remember thinking how beautiful it all was, until I was forced out of my thoughts by Anna yelling, "Stay where I can see you, you hear me?" And all she got in response was an okay from Tommy as he and Zoe ran in and out of the trees, shrieking and laughing as they chased each other. Jason Phillips asked me out in fifth period yesterday, Courtney said as she came to walk beside me. No way. What did you say? I said no, of course, and she giggled. Good. The guy's a creep. What kind of 15-year-old wants to date a 12-year-old? I said, looking over at Courtney. Seriously, Courtney, you can do better, Anna said as she pulled a compact mirror from her pocket and began fixing her hair. Oh, I know. I like somebody else anyway, Courtney smirked before walking faster. I immediately began walking faster too, matching her pace. Really? Who? I demanded. Mind your own, she shot back. I punched her arm and she laughed, and I continued pestering her until Shane shouted to us, Hey, shitheads, we're going this way. We looked back to see the rest of the group a couple meters back, walking along the edge of the stream. Courtney let out a laugh and I yelled back, Well, that's no way to talk to ladies. I don't see any ladies here, Shane laughed as we caught up to them. Hey, Anna said, punching Shane in the back as we walked single file along the stream. Oh, right there's a lady here. Sorry, Daniel, Shane said before cackling to himself. Fuck off, Shane. We carried on down the side of the stream until Daniel stopped. Holy shit, here it is. Here what is? Asked Shane. The path Eddie told me about. We follow this and it takes you right to the carnival, or at least he said it does anyway. The path in question was more of a deer trail than anything else. It consisted of a little trail through the brush, just big enough for us to walk single file. As we made our way down the trail, our chatter eventually subsided until we were all silent, all of us anticipating what we were going to find. We didn't have to wait very long because only a few minutes later I heard Daniel yelling excitedly, I told you! I fucking told you. Holy shit, I heard Shane say. Hurry up, guys, I said as I pushed Zoe to go faster, only for her to trip and fall off the trail into the clearing. Me landing on top of her and Courtney following soon after, the three of us crumpled heap on the ground. I pushed Courtney off of me and rolled off a groaning Zoe, sitting up and turning to look at Courtney, who was too busy looking ahead of us to notice her eyes wide and mouth agape in awe. I turned to see what she was looking at, and I can only think that my expression must have been the same, because in front of us was what only can be described as something out of a movie or a dream. In front of us was a carnival, but it looked as if it had been frozen in time. Empty game stalls stood everywhere. A big Ferris wheel stood to our left, and in the middle of the clearing stood a beautiful old carousel, and to the left stood a building, the entrance made to look like a huge clown face. A sign beside the door said, Mr. Chuckles Funhouse. I must have been in shock because I was only pulled from my trance when Zoe got up from beside me and began sprinting towards the carousel, running past Daniel, who was grinning at me, with an I told you so look in his eyes. I stood up and pulled Courtney to her feet, and the two of us made our way over to Daniel. Holy shit, you were right, I muttered. This is fucking class. To be honest with you, I thought Eddie was bullshitting. I can't believe it's real, Daniel laughed ecstatically. Look at the carousel. I love carousels, Courtney exclaimed. Well, what are we waiting for then? Daniel asked before sprinting off to join the others on the carousel. Courtney and I shared an excited look before running to join them. We hopped on the carousel, and Courtney immediately hopped up beside Daniel on a big black horse while I continued to walk around. Anna was sitting on a gold horse, compact mirror out as she picked leaves out of her hair from the brush. She stopped only to turn to Tommy, who was climbing from horse to horse behind her, and yell, Be careful. If you fall off and break your leg, I'll leave you here for the wolves. And with that, she turned back to her mirror and continued to prune herself. Tommy took no notice and continued what he was doing. I snickered as I walked past him. I turned to see Zoe sitting on a white horse with pink reins. Look at my horse. Isn't she pretty? Zoe asked excitedly, swinging her legs. Well, it could be a boy, I said. Nah, she's a girl, Zoe shot back defensively, causing me to let out a snort of laughter. Whatever, Zoe. Where's Shane? And she pointed over to the control box. At first, I couldn't see anybody through the dirty windows. I squinted, and it soon became clear that there was, in fact, somebody in there. I giggled and made my way down to the control box. I opened the door and there was Shane, violently pressing buttons and pulling levers. So violently, in fact, that he didn't even notice me standing beside him. Shane? He jumped and then turned to face me. Don't do that. Jesus, you could trigger my epilepsy. Yeah, sorry. What are you doing? What am I doing? What the fuck's it look like? Trying to get this thing to work, obviously. Are you serious? What do you mean, am I serious? What's that supposed to mean? Nothing, Shane. Nothing. Carry on. See where it gets you. I laughed and began walking away. I will. And when I fix it, you're not allowed on it. And we'll see who's laughing then. Shane yelled after me. I made my way over to Courtney and Daniel, who were still on the black horse talking and laughing about something. Hey, what's in there? I asked Daniel, pointing to the building. I don't know. I think some sort of play area. Sweet. Well, Courtney, let's go check it out. Well, I want to come too, Zoe yelled, hopping off her horse and running over to us. Okay, well, come on. The three of us began walking, but we stopped when Daniel called out for us to wait. He hopped off his horse and came up to us, blushing slightly. Hey, Courtney, can we go over there and talk for a bit? He asked, gesturing towards one of the empty game stalls. Yeah, sure. I'll catch up with you guys later, okay? She said, turning to me. All right, I'll see you in a bit. Zoe and I went up to the big clown doorway and pushed it open, and inside was indeed a soft play area. The playhouse seemed to be clown-themed and was still in pretty good shape for somewhere that was abandoned. The wallpaper was peeling in places and the lights didn't work, but there was still a good amount of light coming from the windows, so as far as I was concerned, it was fine. Zoe immediately took off into the ball pool and I followed suit, and then we made our way through the ball pool and into the play area, and Zoe ran to the padded stairs to get to the next level, probably to go down a slide. I, however, continued to explore the first level, as there was a bunch of clown-themed stuff and a couple of tunnels. I went through one of the tunnels and came out a slide that appeared to lead to a lower level. That was cool, I thought. And so without thinking further, I threw myself down the slide. The first thing I noticed was the smell. It was, and is by far, the worst stench I have ever smelt in my entire life. And I couldn't explain it even if I tried, so I won't. The second thing I noticed was how dark it was, the only source of light coming from a tiny, filthy window high up on a wall. I stood up, trying not to gag as I looked around waiting for my eyes to adjust to the darkness so I could try to make out where the smell was coming from. I began to make out shapes in the darkness, propped up against the wall and slumped over on the ground in unnatural positions. It didn't take long for me to figure out what those shapes were. And the third thing I noticed was that there were four dead bodies in the lower level of Mr. Chuckles' Funhouse. Well, I stood there in shock, too scared to move a muscle, my eyes scanning over every crumpled, broken body, and they all looked badly decomposed. But I could tell that none of them were older than 10. As I stood there looking at the bodies, there was one that caught my eye. At first, I couldn't figure out why, but then it hit me. Even though I didn't think it possible, the feeling of dread that I suddenly felt got 10 times worse. Well, I recognized that Halloween costume. It was the same costume I had worn that Halloween, a witch. Only this one was, or had been, a little nicer because Lisa Rose Williams' mother had been a seamstress. I stood staring at the unrecognizable corpse of Lisa for what seemed like years, but it must have only been seconds before a shuffling in the corner brought me back to reality. I stiffened suddenly, aware of my surroundings, on the edge of hyperventilating, the panic and fear I felt as I stood there too terrified to move. Listening to my pulse as it beat furiously in my ears and trying to convince myself to run, but I couldn't no matter how hard I tried. The shuffling stopped, and everything was quiet apart from the sound of my heart beating violently. I tried to tell myself that it was just my imagination and that there was nothing there, but there was something there. Because when I finally summoned enough strength to look into the corner, there it was. In the corner stood a clown. No, a man dressed in a very old, very dirty clown costume, and he was staring right at me. Neither of us moved. We just stood staring, almost frozen, until the man raised one of his filthy hands and whispered in a voice that I can only describe as a grown man trying to mimic the voice of a child. "Hello." At this, I broke free from the paralysis and I sprinted. I heard the man let out a grunt as he immediately began following me. I had no idea where I was going, and it was pitch black, but it seemed to be laid out the same way as upstairs. I dove through a tunnel and around a corner. I was a lot smaller than this man, and that was my advantage. I could get through the tunnels a lot faster than he could, and I think that's what saved my life. I continued to zigzag through the maze of tunnels and ball pools, with the man hot on my trail. I went through yet another tunnel, and suddenly I saw light, and the source of that light was stairs. I almost cried out for joy as I immediately began running up them full speed. As I reached the top, I heard the man cry out in a fury as he ran after me. I dove through the first tunnel I found, which brought me back to the ball pool, and I began running for the exit. And then I stopped. Zoe, I thought. Every muscle in my body was telling me to run for the door, and I could hear the man stomping around, panting and grunting. I couldn't leave her. I turned and dashed back into the ball pool, through a tunnel and up the stairs. I could hear the man below me rushing through the ball pool. I prayed he hadn't seen where I'd gone. I ran through the second level, looking around wildly for my sister, and when I saw her peeking up at me from the pool, I let out another choked sob. I grabbed Zoe by the arm, and she was about to protest, but the look on my face must have scared her, and she let me drag her out of the pool. At that moment, the man burst up the stairs, and I threw both Zoe and myself into the first corner I could find. At this point, tears were streaming freely down my cheeks, and I was trying to stifle sobs as the man stomped around looking for us. I could hear his panting as he searched, and I looked down and locked eyes with an equally terrified Zoe. I heard the man dive into the ball pool. He began violently throwing balls in all directions. He was looking for us, I thought. And when he didn't find us, he was going to look over here, and then we'd be dead. I began frantically scanning our surroundings, and then I saw it. The slide. I put my mouth to Zoe's ear and whispered, "Run to the slide. Go down it and get out, and then run. Do you understand?" And she nodded her head. "Go," I said. I shoved her towards the slide and I ran after her. The clown saw and immediately began making his way towards us. I pushed Zoe down the slide and frantically climbed in after her, just as the clown was out of the ball pool and sprinting towards me. I slid down right away. I could hear his furious, unintelligible yells as he flew out of the slide to see Zoe standing, waiting for me, face streaked with tears. "Run," I yelled, fearing the clown was coming down after us. I grabbed Zoe's arm and the two of us crashed out the doors. It was already beginning to get dark. How long had we been in here? For a second, I thought our friends had forgotten about us until I saw Courtney's concerned face watching me from the carousel. "You need to run," I screamed as I sprinted for the trail we had come through, Zoe's arm clasped tightly in my hand. I heard Anna scream, and I could only assume the clown must have come running out of the doors after us. I didn't bother to look back, though, because I had finally found the trail and had shoved Zoe in first, pushing her along, saying, "Run, just run," over and over again, as if it was the only thing I knew how to say. We burst out the trail and along the stream, me dragging Zoe by the arm, refusing to stop running, until we were out of the woods. At some point, Zoe fell. She laid on the ground, her yellow dress covered in mud, snot, and tears, and cried. "Get up," I yelled, pulling her arm, only for her to wail more. I looked around in despair and let out a frustrated sob, as the woods were pitch black, and now we still had a long way to go. I dropped down to her. "Get on, come on." She climbed on my back and I ran with her through the woods, and I fell over and over. Every time I would stagger to my feet and carry back on. After a while, I was very dizzy and I couldn't see very well. The only thing I could focus on was to keep moving. I fell again and slowly but surely picked myself up and staggered to my feet again. I started running, but by now it hurt to breathe. And when I finally crashed through the tree line and onto the street lamp lit streets, I collapsed again and I didn't get back up. I laid there exhausted, breathing heavily on the street. My knees were oozing blood. While Zoe sobbed uncontrollably beside me, shaking every now and again, sobbing harder every time, I didn't respond. Eventually, someone must have come along because the next thing I remember is being lifted into a police car, along with Zoe, who was trying, to the best of her 7-year-old ability, to tell the police what had happened as we were whisked away to the station to find a tearful Courtney waiting for us. The red ribbon was missing from her hair and it fell around her face, tangled and messy. She broke down when she saw the state I was in. We wrapped our arms around each other and cried for a while as a woman bandaged my legs up and gave us all some water to drink. "What happened in there?" Courtney asked as I sipped my water and Zoe leaned against me, fast asleep. I just shook my head at her before asking the only question I could think of. "What did you and Daniel talk about?" Courtney looked at me, confused, before replying. "He asked me out." "Well, what did you say?" "I said yes." "Good," I mumbled, and I smiled slightly, and so did she. Suddenly, the doors to the room opened and a cop walked in. He sat next to me and asked me to tell him what happened. I talked about the carnival and the funhouse and the clown, and the cop then began saying some stuff down his radio, and I wasn't paying attention to it. The cop left, and a little while later, the doors opened again, but this time it was a clearly shaken Anna, Shane, and Daniel, led in by the woman who had bandaged my legs. Anna's face fell as she saw us. "Where's Tommy?"
"What did you say?"
"Tommy, where is he? He went in after you."
"Oh, no."
I was in shock.
"Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, my God, my parents are going to kill me," Anna began sobbing. She turned to the police officer.
"You have to go find my brother. He's still up there. Please. He's only 5 years old." The doors then burst open yet again, and this time it was our frantic parents. I started crying again when I saw my mother. She scooped me and Zoe up in her arms and sobbed, kissing our heads over and over and thanking God we were okay. I looked up to see my father standing behind us, and he was also crying. Over the sound of our mother, I could hear Mr. Evans frantically shouting about where his son was and where's Tommy. After making another statement, I was allowed to finally go home. On my way out of the station, I could still hear Mr. Evans asking, "Where the hell is my son?" They found Tommy, I later learned, that next morning when I had snuck down the stairs to find a policeman in my kitchen. I had crouched behind the door and listened to the conversation he was having with my parents. They found Tommy in the same place and state they had found Lisa Rose Williams, in the basement level of Mr. Chuckle's funhouse, and he was dead. What they didn't find, though, was the clown. From the statements given, it appeared that the outfit the man was wearing was the same one found in the storage closet that the staff wore while the carnival was still open. The police have no idea who he is or where he went, but they assumed that after losing sight of Zoe and me, he had come out and seen the rest of us. And he had then chased Daniel, who had outrun him.
He must have then returned to the funhouse to find Tommy, who was oblivious to the danger he was in. What he did to Tommy after that, I don't want to think about, but whatever it was, it killed him. The clown then dumped Tommy with the rest of his victims, and he left. I had snuck back up to my room and sobbed until my mother came to check on me. Zoe and I both had terrible nightmares. Zoe stopped after a few months, but I still have them, even now. My mother didn't allow me to go to Tommy's funeral in fear that it would mess me up even more. Come to think of it, my mom didn't let me go anywhere alone for the rest of the holidays. Terrified that the moment we were out of her sight, we would end up like Tommy. It was a relief when school started and life almost went back to normal. It was on the first day that I also learned from Shane that Anna and her family had moved away to live closer to her grandparents in Colorado. I was in all the same classes as Courtney that year, which was great. And to say we were popular with the other kids would be an understatement. Every lunchtime for the first couple of weeks of school, we were crowded with kids wanting to know about the clown. They eventually lost interest, though, and life went back to normal. My mom even started letting me walk home from school with Daniel and Courtney again, and eventually her grip on me lessened and lessened until I was allowed to roam the streets with the other kids again, as long as I swore to stay out of the woods, which I had no intention of going near anyways. Eventually, everyone just forgot and life went back to the way it had been before the carnival. That was until I was 16 years old. It was the summer of 1968 and we were in Daniel's new truck at a deserted car park for some office. Shane and I shared a joint and a bottle of whiskey from his dad's stash and tried to ignore Courtney and Daniel making out in the front seat. Suddenly, Daniel pulled away from Courtney and put his truck into ignition and pulled out of the parking lot. "Hey, where are you going, man?" slurred Shane. "You'll see soon enough," Daniel replied as he drove through town. We came to the woods and Daniel drove the truck up the main trail, all the bumps from being off the road and the alcohol making me queasy. "What the fuck are you doing, man?" I slurred as we went over a particularly large pothole that caused the car to jolt and for me to nearly lose my grip on my whiskey. "You'll see in a minute, and please don't spill that," was Daniel's reply as the truck came to a stop beside the stream. "Oh no," Shane warned as Daniel got out of the truck. "Look, you don't have to come. Stay in the truck if you want, but I just have to see," Daniel said before slamming the door and following the stream. "Have to see what, Daniel?" a drunken Shane hollered, looking after him. Courtney and I shared a look before getting out of the truck and following Daniel. We could hear Shane's angry yells as he watched us from the truck. We then heard the door slam behind him as he ran to catch up with us, apparently not wanting to be left alone. It didn't take us long to find the trail through the brush. It was burned into my mind. It wasn't much like a trail anymore, now overgrown and hard to make out, as nature had begun to reclaim it. We pushed through, not caring about the brambles, getting snagged on our clothes, or scratching our legs. I came to the clearing and joined Daniel where he stood, the feelings of dread from all those years ago hitting me full force all over again as Courtney came to stand behind me. "It's still here," Daniel whispered, as if afraid to say what we were all seeing. The place was exactly as it was 4 years ago, from the carousel to the funhouse. Nothing had changed. We stood there in shock, silence, all reliving that night from all of those years ago. The silence was broken by a very drunk, very angry Shane bursting through the brush, yelling, "Motherfucker!" We turned to look at the soaking wet drunk before us, and Courtney snickered. "I fell in the stream," Shane clarified as he walked past us, stopping beside the control box of the carousel. "Hey, you want to bet I can get this to work?" Shane laughed, pointing at the carousel. "No, no, fuck no, stay away," Daniel said firmly, almost angrily, before he turned and walked straight back into the brush, the way we came. Courtney and I glanced at each other before following him, and Courtney turned around to tell Shane to come on as we went back through the brush and along the stream to Daniel's car. He sat inside waiting for us as we drove back in silence. Daniel stopped his car at the end of our street and sat staring ahead for a while before speaking. "I gotta go do some shit, but be here at 7 on the dot and I'll pick you all up, okay?" We all got out and he sped off. "What was all that about?" I said. "No idea. You gonna be here at 7? Courtney asked. "Yeah, I will," You? Horny nodded and we looked over to Shane. Ha, go fuck yourselves, he said before staggering off down the street. At exactly 7 p.m., we came to the corner of the street to find Daniel's truck waiting with Shane, already inside. I chuckled at him as Courtney and I climbed into the back seats and he shot me a glare. Without saying a word, Daniel drove us all back up to where we had parked last time, beside the stream. He opened his door and got out, and the rest of us did the same. It was only when I followed him around to the back of his truck that I noticed the cans of gasoline he had stored in the bed of the pickup. Grab one each, he said as he took one and made his way back towards the carnival. I did the same. I followed the path and came to the clearing, Courtney and Shane following soon after. I spotted Daniel over the empty stands, and Courtney went over to join him, while Shane, with a sadistic grin on his face, set to work on the carousel. I, of course, made my way over to Mr. Chuckles' funhouse. I unscrewed the lid to my gasoline can and began dousing the place in it. I kicked open the doors and threw as much gasoline as I could inside without actually having to set foot in there, before going to town on the clown face around the door. I threw the empty container into the funhouse, hearing it clatter, and I pulled the lighter from my pocket and flicked it on. The little flame dancing before my face reminded me of Tommy and Lisa, little flames that blew out of existence far too soon. It also reminded me of Zoe, who was 11 now, and it made me think about what could have happened if I had run out instead of going back for her. Would the police have found 6 dead bodies instead of 5? It's hard to say. I was pulled back to reality as I felt the tears beginning to slide down my face. I wiped them on the back of my sleeve before staring Mr. Chuckles right into his cold, dead, painted eyes. I stepped back and chucked my lighter onto the gasoline-soaked ground, which lit up immediately, the fire taking only seconds to engulf the entire building. Fuck you, you fucking clowns, I spat, and turned around to see the burning carousel behind me. Shane was excitedly jumping around, laughing and yelling. Burn, pony, burn, he said, and I looked behind him to where all the empty stalls and Ferris wheels stood, all of them engulfed in flames too. I could see Daniel and Courtney holding hands as they watched the fire roar together. But eventually the smoke became too much for us and we retreated back to Daniel's car, and he drove us home. He parked his truck at the end of our street and we all sat in silence until Shane eventually spoke up. If the police show up at my door, I'm going to blame you, Daniel, he said calmly. Shane, get out of my car, was all Daniel said in reply before turning to face me. I'll see you later. Yeah, man, see you later, I said as I exited the car with Shane leaving Courtney and Daniel to talk about whatever as I made my way home. I didn't see much of them after that. I dropped out of high school and ended up getting pregnant and moved to Texas with my boyfriend to have a life together. I heard Courtney and Daniel went to college and moved in together, but I don't know if they stayed together or not, even though I kind of hoped they did. And I have no idea what happened to Shane. If I had to guess, I'd say he's probably dead. Zoe grew up and went to college and became a veterinarian. She made my parents proud, something I could never do. I'm still in Texas, married now with 4 kids of my own and 2 grandkids. And every year when the carnival comes to town, they plead and beg and cry for me to take them. But my answers are always going to be the same. I'll never go back to a carnival again. Not now, and not ever.